WBAI New York and WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Hapta Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 a.m. right here in New York City and time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
Got to build our love on one foundation.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
And on this first day of June, it's probably in the vicinity of 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Lock Trump Up, Lock Trump Up, Lock Trump Up, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear. And a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Well, we're going to talk about various things on this program. You can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. When you get to that, at the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. And so you can click on that, and it will get you there. We do a web page for each and every program. So we got a lot of web pages up there. Anyway, the WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 177th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in this multiverse and all the alternate universes that we know about for this past week has been, we are holding at the still huge total of 124 followers on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, June 12, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And, we usually end up with elements of the so-called Justice and Unity campaign disrupting things. And so that happens a lot, and it'll probably happen in the future as well. It's such a problem. I mean, there are people in other parts of Pacifica that are doing things to make a mess of things, too. Pacifica is the foundation that owns BAI and some other radio stations. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a website, and their CDC website is no longer tracking the cumulative death toll in America from COVID-19. What their website says this week is that there is, once again, there has been no change in the death rate from COVID-19 over the past week, which would still mean that at least a couple of hundred people have died of the disease since our last program. From what I've read, the virus is still infecting people, and there are even new variants of COVID-19 showing up. Maybe we're coming out of the pandemic, or maybe it's just that the weather is slowing down the spread of the virus a lot. Pickles of the North and I are not wearing our masks as much at this point, but we are still planning on getting our spring booster shots soon. As I'm sure we all know by now, Donnie Bonespur Trump was found guilty of 34 felonies on Thursday. Oh, boy. So he is a convicted felon now. Yes, he certainly has made history, hasn't he? And so, yeah, he's done that. And now, of course, he's going out. He's monetizing that. He's running around, pitching off of it. And there are predictions that this is going to make his base maybe even bigger. And it will certainly make a whole lot of them more loyal to him. So his base is really going to show up completely in November to vote for him. God, how can these people be so deluded? He is such a con man. Well, because con men wouldn't keep showing up in societies for thousands of years if conning people didn't work. So, yeah, he's a con man and it works. And now he's a convicted felon. Yes, the criminal in the White House is what he wants to be. He was a criminal in the White House before. Because he did this stuff before he became president. So he was a criminal in the White House. I hope he doesn't become a criminal in the White House again. I'd rather have him be a criminal in the big house. Yeah, well, I was surprised, by the way, that he was found guilty. Not because of the evidence. It's obvious that he did it. He did it all. Between the testimony of various people and the paper trail that shows what was done, it was obvious he was guilty. But they were picking that jury, and while they were picking that jury, at least one person said that, I think it was a woman, she said she was a follower of his on Twitter, I think. And so I said, well, right there, she shouldn't be on the jury. You know, and I figured she or another person, some MAGA plant that slipped in, was just going to sit there and say, I don't care what anybody says. I say not guilty and hang the jury. I think that that is exactly a part of what the Trump strategy was in defense, was to get a hung jury. And then say, okay, there's nothing you can do about that. And then they would not have another trial until after the election was over. And he wouldn't care what happened then. So, yeah, we would have, I mean, hell, he might have ended up trying to arrest Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA. I wouldn't put it past Trump to try something like that. I mean, he's already said if he's elected, he's going to be a dictator on the first day and he's out for revenge. Well, once he gets the bit in his teeth and he says, oh, here we go, I can do whatever I please, he will pardon all of the January 6th insurrectionists who've been convicted, rightfully. And he's going to go after other people. And I don't think it would be limited to one day. I think he would enjoy it too much. And he would say, gee, I'm going to do this every day from now on. And he would do all sorts of things, including maybe saying, we don't need any more elections. I'm here. And that would be the end of it. And I don't know. I wonder if his Supreme Court would uphold that. You know, who knows? But anyway, so he is a convicted felon now, and that's a very good thing. And he immediately, after the trial, went off to a a fundraising event for himself. And, oh, God, this guy's so terrible. So we have now a presidential candidate who is a convicted felon. Now, he's not going to get jail time. He's not going to go to prison. I think he should go to prison. But the way these sentencing things work in general is, one, he's a first-time offender. And two, it's a nonviolent crime. Although I think he's committed some violent crimes. Not necessarily himself physically, but in getting others to commit violent crimes. And he's rich. So that's not officially something, but that's something that's going to factor into it in reality. But the fact is, if you have a first-time felony conviction, they generally don't lock you up in prison, apparently.
Well, he's already held a press conference with no questions earlier on Friday, where he called the judge a devil, and I'm not sure what else. There was a lot of stuff that came spewing out of that mouth.
Yeah, he's been doing that all along. And now we also have the question of the Trump defense people, those lawyers. They have the names of the jurors. Are they going to give those names to Trump? And is he now going to go after the, you know, tell his insane followers, here you go after these people?
Well, he has no motive to treat them kindly, so.
Yeah, and he has no moral sense whatsoever. So, yeah, I'm sure he's already at least trying to get their names and details from his lawyers. Will his lawyers cough up that information? Yeah, I wonder. Will they? Well, if we suddenly find some of these jurors getting attacked or even just named online, which is, you know, a great way to get his base to vector in on them, then we can say, yeah, he's doing it this way. And I don't know, can that be maybe then they should lock him up. Maybe lock up and disbar his lawyers too and say, okay, you're going to play it this way, we can play rough too. That would be a thing to do then. Put him in general population. If the SS wants to hang out with him there, they can do that. But he goes into general population. That's life. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe the lawyers will be able to tell him, look, if you start vectoring in your people on the jurors that convicted you, that's going to be a very big thing. And you know, maybe they'll tell him, hey, it could cost you the election if you do that, in which case he might refrain. On the other hand, if he got elected, those people are probably toast. So, I mean, he would certainly be able to get the information if he were elected president. Anyway, those people were brave, and we hope that they stay safe. But, yeah, so he's elected. He was elected a felon. 12 people elected Donnie Bonespur Trump as felon. And we'll see what happens. He may get community service. That would be interesting to see him getting some kind of community service. I'm sure the Republicans will step up in that case and have things like, he'll come and talk to us. You know, and that would be his community service, to do more MAGA speeches in front of Republicans. And that would be his community service. I hope not. I hope if he gets community service, I hope he's going around the highways and the places where the weeds are, picking up the trash. That's what he needs to do. Or lock him up. I mean, the hell with guidelines. Lock him up. But everybody says that's impossible. Oh, that's so sad that he's probably not going to get locked up. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. We have been living through history, folks. We've seen something that has never happened in America before. And also, speaking of Trump speaking to Republicans, he spoke to some oil executives recently, and basically he promised the oil executives that he would roll back the limits and regulations that a lot of them don't like because it prevents them from making even more huge profits if he's elected. And some people have said, you know, this is a quid pro quo. He's basically trying to buy votes, and I'm sure he'll get away with that, but he's doing it, and, you know, he's not doing it to the general public so much, but he's doing it to these guys who control the oil and telling them this. Oh, geez. And, of course, this is going to whip into climate change and everything else if he gets to do this. Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, the world is falling apart here.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
You know, they say it would be a real miracle if Trump got prison time. Speaking of miracles...
Oh, speaking of miracles and speaking of trying to keep things from falling apart, the Vatican recently released big paper that's entitled Norms for Proceeding in the Discernment of Alleged Supernatural Phenomena. Now, you might say, what the hell is that all about? Well, dear listeners, let me just read a little excerpt from it here. God is present and active in our history. The Holy Spirit, who flows from the heart of the risen Christ, works in the church with divine freedom and offers us many valuable gifts that aid us on the path of life and encourage our spiritual growth in the fidelity to the gospel. This action of the Holy Spirit can also reach our hearts through certain supernatural occurrences, such as apparitions or visions of Christ or the Blessed Virgin and other phenomena. Many times these events have led to a great richness of spiritual fruits, growth in faith, devotion, fraternity, and service. In some cases, they have given rise to shrines throughout the world that are at the heart of many people's popular piety today. And there's a lot of shrines, the Catholic Church, all over the world, as they say. What life and beauty the Lord sows beyond our human understanding and procedures. For this reason, the norms for proceeding in the discernment of alleged supernatural phenomena that we now present here are not intended to control or even less stifle the Spirit. And they're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as our Paul and I learned about him when we were kids. In fact, in the best cases involving events of alleged supernatural origin, the diocesan bishop is encouraged to appreciate the pastoral value of this spiritual proposal and even to promote its spread. At the same time, in some events of alleged supernatural origin, there are serious critical issues that are detrimental to the faithful. In these situations, the Church must respond with utmost pastoral solicitude. In particular, I am thinking of the use of such phenomenon to gain profit, power, fame, social recognition, or other personal interest, even possibly extending to the commission of gravely immoral acts, or the use of these phenomena as a means of or pretext for exerting control over people or carrying out abuses. When considering such events, one should not overlook, for example, the possibility of doctrinal errors, an oversimplification of the gospel message, or the spread of a sectarian mentality. Finally, there is the possibility of believers being misled by an event that is attributed to a divine initiative, but is merely the product of someone's imagination, desire for novelty, tendency to fabricate falsehoods, mythomania, or inclination toward lying. Therefore, in its discernment in this area, the Church needs clear procedures. Well, that's a lot to chew on.
And that's from where?
Well, the title of the Paper is norms for proceeding in the discernment of alleged supernatural phenomena.
And it is put out by what body?
Well, let's see here. Let me just look at my notes. It's put out by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, which the original one was founded in 1542, and it's originally was named Supreme Sacred Congregation of the Roman and Universal Inquisition.
Yep.
So it is put out by the branch of the Vatican that is basically the Inquisition. First put together to combat heresy and still doing its job today. So the Catholic Church has been around, what, 2,000 years, R. Paul? Is that how long it's been
around? No, not really. It's been around maybe 1,800 years in some form and earlier. You know, you look at things, you look at the history, and you go into, the 500s, the 600s, the 700s, and they're still having meetings to decide what the hell to do and fighting about things like the Trinity,
yes,
the host. Is it really, is it symbolic or is it real? And all of these other things. There are loads of doctrinal things that everybody seems to think are 2,000 years old when in fact they're not nearly that. And there were a lot of discussions about things in those days, and if you disagreed with them, you were a heretic.
Well, for a long time, at least hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, when things called then miraculous events happened, the local diocese would sort of handle it. They'd get the bishop in, the bishop would say, okay, what? Oh, the Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus. You saw her, you know, standing on top of a stone and now there's a spring there. Okay, well, that sounds reasonable. And everyone here in the village and the villages that are part of the diocese, you all have to believe this now. And that's what you're going to do. And apparently the actual church doctrine on this was that they didn't all have to believe this. But the bishop got to say what the bishop said. So this paper changes that. The bishop gets to say, all right, well, if it's not hindering anything and it seems reasonable, then we can, it's a booster for your faith, but it's not the word of God. So it's very interesting, this line they're trying to walk. They want to protect the Vatican brand, the Roman Catholic brand. They don't want people who are saying, I saw God in a potato chip, Mary in a piece of toast. You know, my bathroom tap spoke to me and said, this is the word of God. They don't want this kind of stuff to happen. Do you remember the woman in, I think it was Queens, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy. And she had a following.
Tell about it.
Oh, I don't know all the particulars about
that. She had a bathroom window. That people said, we see, I think it was the BVM.
Yes.
The Blessed Virgin,
yes,
Mary in her window. And, it, you know, of course she had some, when they would take a shower, the window would get steamy. And some idiots were standing around and saying, oh, I see the BVM in that window. The BVM is shining out of that window. And it's the bathroom window. What a great place to do it from. And there were people congregating there in saying rosaries and everything. Oh, here, the BVM is here. And they were praying toward her bathroom window.
Well, this happens all around the world with different groups of Catholics. And so what they're saying now is, well, each bishop can decide if this is something that needs to be investigated. And they set up a commission and they have people, you know, they populate it. They're all sworn to secrecy. They do investigations and then they come back and say, you know what? The potato chip is just a potato chip. It's not, you know, Christ's image in the potato chip. And then they say, okay, then we're not going to publicize this. We'll tell people, please don't think that this is part of, you know, church doctrine. This is not a true miracle. So just forget it.
You would think they'd say that. We don't know that they're going to say that. They may say, this is a great miracle. Yeah, step up and get your you know, Jesus H. Christ image potato chips now. They could do that.
They could, but it's unlikely that they would.
If you want to look at silliness, you can look at, what is it, the Fatima? The kids?
Yes.
And this thing is so stupid.
But there were enough people who believed in it that the church had to say, this is a bona fide miracle, and it became a shrine, and there are pilgrimages to that shrine unto this day.
And this was a thing in, what was it, 1917 or something? And three kids said, oh, the BVM showed up to us, and the BVM talks to us over by this bunch of rocks, and there's a spring there, and oh yes, you know, and the BVM says all sorts of stuff. And it got to where some of the adults were paying attention to them. Of course, if you're a young kid, this is a great thing. Now you're telling stories to adults and they're paying attention to you. And it was just pretty obvious. It was three kids making stuff up. And initially the church said, this is such BS. We're not going to do well with this. You know, this is going to make the church look bad, which is hard to do, but it can happen. And so they resisted it a lot at first, but then enough people go, oh, it's all holy. And the great mass of idiots made the church break down and say, okay, it's real. Yes, of course, the BVM was there, and this is all very holy. The water is holy, and it will cure everything.
Well, this is the 21st century attempt to control that, because now things are get even worse, because everyone has a cell phone, and there's the World Wide Web. So somebody has, you know, spilled milk that looks like the nativity, you know, the Holy Family, they can take a picture of that and send it around the world. And then, you know, you may have hordes of people coming to see your spilt milk image. I mean, you know, before it spoils. But some of the things.
But if it were a real miracle, it would never spoil. So
that is true. Well, you know, there's a gigantic range of miracles, everything from the stigmata where, you know, you bleed from the wounds that Christ had on the cross, you know, from the hands and the side and the feet.
The various paintings that cry.
That cry.
And which, gee, they don't let you examine. It would be sacrilege to examine this. And which it sure looks like they're pumping water through the back of it. That kind of thing. Oh, there's just so much of it. If you read a lot of the medieval stuff, which if you go to Catholic school years ago, here and there you had to read some of that crap. In fact, you had your missal. The missal is a prayer book that you go to church with, and it has, well, in my day, it had all of the entire, all the prayers and all the rituals and every mass, and it had it in English and in Latin, and it also had what today's feast day is. And you would read that, and some of them were so bizarre and so weird. And so in medieval times, they got away with a whole lot of crap, mostly because the average person never went farther than 7 miles from where they were born, and they knew nothing. They couldn't read. All they knew was, I'm talking to the other guy, you know, with mud on his boots over there, or maybe he didn't even have boots, and this other person over here, and all they know is the church tells them this, that, and the other thing, and so here we go, folks. And they were ascribing miracles to everything, you know. Oh, look at this cow dung. It tells us what's going to happen in the future. Oh, yeah, okay, there's that. And, yeah, the church had a lot of that in medieval times. And, you know, you look at previous religions, and they would look at the entrails of animals and interpret them. It's the same exact thing. That just carries over into Catholicism and other organized superstitions. So,
well, they're claiming that they're somewhat concerned about people getting messages that might tell them to fight other groups of people, things like that. So I can understand that. you know, if they don't want to have active hate going on, you know, from somebody's holy water tap, you know.
I think they've had that in the past where one saint says, yes, we must now go march against the, you know, first of all, against other ethnic groups. And second of all, you know, things like the Albigensian heresy, where they slaughtered huge numbers of people.
Yes, but they want to control that. They don't want some, you know, somebody from some little town, as you say, with mud on their boots, controlling this kind of thing. This is all about control. Again, controlling the brand. So, by the way, my mother, when she was a newborn, was, I believe she had scarlet fever. And at the time, this would have been 1930. So that was something that could kill you if you were a little baby, you know, or older. And her grandmother brought her to St. Joseph's Oratory, which was, it's on the top of the hill of Mount Royal in Montreal. Who was there? There was this guy named Brother André Bessette. Brother André was a lay brother, which means he wasn't exactly, he, let's put it this way, he wasn't educated enough to be in the holy orders proper. So he had, you know, he kind of did handyman things. But before he was at the oratory, he was at a secondary school, and he started healing people. And then the people at the school said, we don't like this. You're bringing people in. You might make the kids sick because all these people are starting to come to see you. And, you know, so they shoved him off to what became the oratory. And St. Joseph's, his favorite saint, which, of course, I believe St. Joseph is, of course, Mary's husband.
Yeah. Cuckolded by the Holy Ghost.
But people continued to come to see him. And at this point, yes, he was made a saint. He's a saint now. But so my great-grandma brings, you know, my mother, this little baby, to Brother André. And he's just, you know, I don't know what he's doing, if he's sweeping, if he's greeting people. I don't know. He did stuff like that. And Brother André lay his hands upon the little baby. And according to my mother, she was cured. It was Brother André. I think my mom was really lucky to survive scarlet fever, no matter how. But so there you go. There's a direct contact with a saint in my family.
Oh, my godlessness.
Anyway, so I immediately, when I saw this paper had come out, that I immediately thought of that. I was like, oh, man. And, of course, the author of the paper is Victor Manuel Cardinal Fernandez. He's the prefect of the Inquisition, a position held at one time by the Pope once removed from the current Pope.
Yes. Pope Benedict the 16th. Formerly Hitler Youth member. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Speaking of all these holy people, in the Vatican especially, the Pope has managed to step in it. Yeah, the Pope used the Italian term, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right or not, Frociagini, I think, when discussing the admission of gay men into Catholic seminaries. The term comes from the Italian word frocio, which translates in English to the word faggot. Ah, something some of us have been called a whole lot in our lives. I'm reading that, according to the Italian newspaper La Repubblica, The remark was made as a joke. The Pope said the reason gay men shouldn't be allowed to enter seminaries was because there was already too much Frocciagine in them. Again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Anyway, there's already too much faggotry in their seminaries, which there are a lot of gay men there. After this particular news hit the papers and all, Vatican spokesman Matteo Bruni told reporters that, quote, Pope Francis is aware of the articles recently published about a conversation behind closed doors with the bishops, unquote. Yeah.
The bishops.
Telling jokes like that behind closed doors makes it fine. They've done worse behind closed doors, too. He continues. The Pope, quote, the Pope never intended to offend or express himself in homophobic terms. And he apologizes to those who felt offended by the use of a term reported by others, unquote. Yeah, right. You know, he's probably just so used to making fag jokes that one came out right there and the other said, oh, yeah. But, you know, you never know who's going to rat you out in a place like that.
This really, it really is bad.
Yeah, they try to put on a face of, oh, we're being so good. And in the back room, they're going, yeah, and there's a bunch of fags in the seminaries. But I got to tell you, I was a gay kid in Catholic school, and you had to go to confession. And I used to go to confession, and sometimes they'd bring the entire class over to go to confession. So even if you didn't want to, you were forced to. And one time, I remember, I was in the confessional for about 25 minutes. Now, most of the kids, they go into the confession and they say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been some couple of weeks since my last confession. And they tell them, you know, they might have missed Mass and they used a naughty word, or they smack their little sister and bang, they're out of there in about 90 seconds. And he gives them, you know, a penance, say, to Our Fathers and three Hail Marys. And, you know, then there's a little prayer you say while he's forgiving your sins, then you get the hell out of there. Like 90 to 120 seconds, these kids are out of there. So there, this assembly line of great faith is going on, and then I get in there. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 4 months, 6 months, 10 months since my last confession. Well, right now, I got this guy's attention. And I have, and I'm going over, you know, yeah, I did a thing or two here and there, but the ear catcher is what I'm lusting after. I had impure thoughts, six times every single day. Probably had it more than that, but, and I committed impure acts alone every day. And I committed impure acts with another boy. Well, that last one hooks up to the previous ones, and the guy goes, oh, yeah? And I spent 25 minutes in there instead of the usual 90 seconds. It completely screwed up the teacher's work schedule for the day's classes. And so, I mean, and everybody, and there's a line in back of me. I mean, there are two places. One kid's kneeling down and he says, oh, and he does it and he closes a little door and opens the other door and you go, oh, bless me, Father. And he does his 90 seconds there. And then and when he's done with you, he opens the other door. There's another kid there. So this is this little line that goes on and you come in from two sides and the whole line is standing there for 25 minutes. And so, oh boy, yeah, the teacher didn't like that. And, you know, he says, And I got a penance of like saying a lot of prayers, and he comes over to me, and everybody else is done and sitting in the rest of the church, and I'm there saying these prayers. He says, "Gee, you tell you could do that." He doesn't want to ask me what my penance is. He's not allowed to officially, and he doesn't want to, so he's coming over. You know what? You can do the rest of your penance after school. Never heard of this before. We always had to do it right away. So I said, okay. And the kids are coming up. What did you do, rob a bank? I couldn't tell them. But I used to go to confession. I also went to confession in high school. And when I went to confession in high school, it was different because you actually were there and you saw the priest. He saw you. He was sitting in a chair. There was a little kneeling thing you went to. You kneeled down. You did the whole thing. And when I went to him, I confessed the usual stuff. And so, oh boy. So I confessed to this priest in high school. Should I mention his name? I'm sure he's dead. Father Fink. And I confessed to Father Fink about all this stuff, all this homosexual stuff. And I, you know, all these homosexual interests and activities I was going through. And he said, I should become a priest or brother. He said, since you're not going to marry a woman and satisfy your sexual urges that way, you can't do this. Otherwise, you'll be in sin until you die and you'll go to hell. So the only thing you could do is be celibate for life. And if you're going to do that, you should go and become a priest or maybe a brother, but mostly a priest, and you know, go on to refrain, because then if you're a priest, you will not be doing these things. Yeah, you know, I believed that. You know, I'm a teenager in Catholic high school, so I believed all that crap. And, oh boy, what can one expect from the church? But, you know, telling the kid, yeah, you're gay, go be a priest and, you know, be sexually frustrated for the rest of your life. And I'm very glad I didn't follow their goddamned advice.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Yes, I hear a train. Could it be the WBAI pitching train? Who's on that pitching train? It's the pitching hobos. Yes, the pitching hobos are on the WBAI pitching train. Here we are. We're here to pitch. Yes, this is listener-sponsored, non-commercial, WBAI New York. And we are non-commercial. How do we pay our bills?
Well, in a lot of cases, we just don't.
However, we try. And the way we pay the bills we do pay is we have to ask you for the money. Yes. We are listener-sponsored, which means we have to ask you, the listener, to sponsor us. We have to ask you to basically send in some money. And I'll point out, last time we were giving you the story about how the call center had a little problem with WBAI, and oh boy. The last program, we talked about the call center suspending its service to BAI due to non-payment of bills. That was, by the way, an illustration of things happening after we recorded the program on Friday evening, because by Saturday, a deal had been struck. And as of last Saturday, and as of still now, you can once again call 1-212-209-2950 to pledge some amount of money. And the call center doesn't pick up your call anymore. The call center now reroutes the calls to a phone number based at WBAI. Now, when you call 1-212-209-2950, I don't know who, if anyone, will answer the phone for you at the station. So I can't guarantee what's going to happen here. But management says pitch the number. We're pitching the number. So you can call 1-212-209-2950 to pledge. And we're asking people to call and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And basically, you will then give somebody your credit card or debit card number and all that other information. And you'll say what day of the month you want to be billed for this stuff, because you would become a sustaining member. That's what a BAI buddy is. And so you would be donating to WBAI on a monthly basis. Now, for as a BAI buddy, you can pledge $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, maybe more, and you can do all of that and say, oh boy, I'm donating. And WBAI will be very glad that you are. 1-212-209-2950. And we hope somebody picks up. And if not, I don't know. Well, if not, then go to the website. You can go to the website, WBAI.org. When you get to that front page of WBAI.org, you will see somewhere on there a picture of a dove with the words BAI Buddy, Become a Sustaining Member, underneath the picture. It's a very small rectangular thing. It's under the program carousel, as it's called. The programs go by, the upcoming programs. It's under that, and it's not very big. It should be bigger. And it's got the dove on it, and it says BAI Buddy, Become a Sustaining Member. Click on that, and you'll be brought to another web page where you can become a BAI buddy. But you must remember to click on the thing that says select your favorite show, and then choose Back of the Book from the drop-down list. And if you do that, we get credit for it, and management is looking to see who raises money, and if we don't raise money, we're gone. It has been bluntly put that way. Plus, there are people in Pacifica who are really pushing BAI and programs that don't produce money, as they put it, are definitely going to get chopped. So we don't want to get chopped. So 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money as on a monthly basis. You can also do a one-time donation, or go to WBAI.org and click on the thing that says BAI Buddy, Become a Sustaining Member. One of those two. We're asking you to go to those and click on that. And that way you'll be brought to something that will allow you to become a BAI Buddy. We really, really need BAI Buddies, because it's steady income. Management can plan things, as opposed to not being able to plan and saying, well, we have to pay this bill, but we need to see what comes in this month. We don't know what's coming in, and there's a priority of bills that have to be paid, and who gets what. Oh boy, what a mess. And anyway, so this helps to create a steadier income. So if management gets like 18 to 22 grand a month out of BAI buddies, that means they can plan that they're going to have that much this month and next month and the month after that to pay certain bills. It's not enough. We need more than that. And we're asking you to help save WBAI. Call 1-212-209-2950 to pledge, or go to WBAI.org, click on the thing that says BAI Buddy, Become a Sustaining Member. Now, you'd be supporting Back of the Book, and either way, make sure they know that Back of the Book is the program that you're calling in to support. By the way, you might want to contact me, rpm@glib.com, rpm@glib.com. Let me know you have pledged. That way, we can make sure management knows this. Management may miss something. Anyway, so what happens is you will be donating and helping to keep BAI on the air and keeping Back of the Book on BAI. Also, what you're doing is telling management that there are listeners to these overnight programs. Not all overnight programs pitch that much. Some of them don't pitch much at all. And so basically, the overnights are always under attack.
there are proposals, and I keep telling you this, and this is real. I don't want to name the people who are saying this, but there are listeners who are trying to become involved in governance who say, yes, rent out the midnight to 6 a.m. slots 7 days a week, and you'll raise money that way. Somebody will be willing to pay WBAI a wad of money for that 6 hours of airtime overnight every night. And, yeah, that's a proposal. That could happen. But if management thinks there are people listening, if management says, yes, we do have listeners at those hours, they'll be less likely to entertain that particular idea. However, if they think there's nobody listening between midnight and 6, they'll say, what the hell? Why bother? Just, you know, let them have it. Sell it to whoever the hell they'd end up renting it out to and let them go with it. You could end up with Christian fundamentalists doing this time slot. I don't think you probably want that. You could end up with the anti-gay bigots spewing anti-gay bigotry in these overnight time slots. You could end up with some Rush Limbaugh wannabe showing up in these time slots. Yes, you could have that happen if Pacifica and BAI management say, the hell with it, we're going to sell the midnight to 6 a.m. time slots to somebody. So the way you prevent that is calling 1-212-209-2950. It's 1-212-209-2950, or go to WBAI.org and click on the thing that says BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. It has a black dove on a greenish background, and the lettering is all in black. So you click on that, and that brings you to the other website that allows you to pledge there. And you can click on that and also remember to choose your favorite show and make it back of the book, because if you're pledging for back of the book, that's how you have to do it. If you choose another show because you're listening to this show, you're not helping this show at all. They don't pay attention to what time the stuff comes in. Also, of course, if you're listening on the web, we have our archives. If you're listening to this program in the archives, yeah, you have both those options. Call 1-212-209-2950 or go to WBAI.org. You're probably already there if you're listening to the archives. Go to WBAI.org, and on the front page, that BAI Buddy Become a Sustaining Member block image, click on that and say, yes, Back of the Book is your favorite program. Please do that. We need you to do that. Oh, boy, I hope you do that. 1-212-209-2950 or WBAI.org. Please do it. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Everything Old is New Again, Again with Mr. David Kenny.
So we're scheduled to be back next week, as far as we know. It's nice out. It's June. It's Pride Month. Whoopee! And we'll be talking about that more later in the month. And above all, remember what that wanting to see Donnie Bonespur Trump in a prison outfit Dormouse said.
Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of you.
Saturday. All mixed up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We'd kill ourselves!
February 9th, 1964, television history. The Beatles made their American debut on the Ed Sullivan Show. And now, exactly 50 years later, plus 5 more years, 3 months, 6 days, a new batch of mop top heartthrobs has landed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may have heard that there is a new musical craze sweeping the globe. It is known as K-pop. Yeah, and it's on WBAI at 8 p.m. on Saturdays.
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan. On WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay, I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
It's election season at WBAI. Starting June 1st, you will have the opportunity to get involved by running as a listener candidate or registering to nominate candidates who will represent you on WBAI's local station board. Be sure to renew your membership by June 30th in order to participate. Visit elections.pacifica.org for more information.
Extinction Diaries. The Yangtze River in China is the longest river in Asia and home of some of the oldest living species dating back hundreds of millions of years. The river is also one of the most polluted on Earth. Sadly, the Yangtze is where two recent extinctions happened, the Baiji dolphin and the Chinese paddlefish. Another resident is on the extinction radar. 10 years ago, there were over 1,800 Yangtze River finless porpoise, and today there is less than 500. The incredible marine mammal is thought to have the intelligence of a gorilla and is known for playful antics like tail stands while wearing a mischievous smile. They lack a dorsal fin, hence the name, and the genetics show that the finless porpoise is the oldest living member of the porpoise species. The Yangtze finless porpoise generates both high and low frequencies, one for communication, one for echolocation. This ancient relative has all the high-tech evolution our planet can muster, and yet without a rapid evolution of human consciousness steadfast for our own survival, the Yangtze River finless porpoise has just a short time left. My name is Cheyenne Sunthunder, and this is Small World Radio Production.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM.